Warning, this show contains childish adult content and is intended for immature, mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views spoken are ours and ours alone, not those of any other bugger. If you're easily offended, we strongly suggest finding another podcast. Everybody neat and pretty, then on with the show.
Hello and welcome back to the second episode of Diz After Dark for January. As previously said, there is no one else on this show except for me and our wonderful guest, Steve.
Hello again.
Hello. So this time, as we mentioned on the last one, we are going to talk Walt Disney World at Christmas. Obviously, as we talked about on the last episode, I've done Christmas at Walt Disney World. Slightly different to you, Steve. I went for actual Christmas.
Oh, yes.
Never again. Never again.
I've seen the wait times. I mean, it must be amazing to be there, but it must be manic.
So I did this. I've been with my wife. How long have I been with my wife? It's 15 years now. And I did it. I'd only been with she was my then fiance. We'd been together about 9 months and we'd got engaged after 6. And I was made redundant. Not long after we got together. And it had worked out that her family had already booked this trip, didn't have a choice in the matter. They'd already booked it. They got a 3-week trip over Christmas and New Year. And I was going to go out for a week because obviously I didn't have any holiday left. I'd already booked all of my holiday for the year and was only going to fly out for a week. They were going to pick me up. I was going to do a week. And then, as I said, I was made redundant and was temping at the time. And I kind of just went, well, why don't I just do the 3 weeks now? It's not going to make any difference. I've got this payoff for my job. I've temped, so I've made more money while I've been doing it. I'll go out for the 3 weeks and then look for a permanent job afterwards. So we did it. We went out the week before Christmas. It's my mother-in-law's birthday on Christmas Eve. So that was... that was another thing. And we went to Hollywood Studios on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's not Boxing Day in the States. It's not a bank holiday out there. But my God, I've never seen a Disney park so busy in my life.
Yeah.
Only time I've ever nearly had a fight with somebody. It's a long story on this show before. Don't want to do Fantasmic on Boxing Day, let me tell you that. But then we did Magic Kingdom on the day after New Year's Day. It took us half an hour to get to the coffee shop from the hub. It was that busy. Everybody was waiting for the fireworks. That's fair enough. But even so, it literally took us half an hour to get to the coffee shop and half an hour to get back on Main Street. Just ridiculous. And then Universal we did just before we came home, and that was as quiet as anything in that week after New Year. That when Universal was in its bad spot, so it was before Potter. Potter was built at that point. It was definitely quieter. But we're not here to talk about my trip. We are here to talk about yours, Steve. And as I mentioned on the other one, we will bring up some points about things that we've talked about on this show over the last couple of months, I'm sure. But let's start as we always do. We're still drinking the same drink, so
we are.
there's no point beating around it. Pepsi and Mountain Dew. There we go. As everybody knows, if they've listened to the show for a while, you are a DVC member.
Yes. So
let's talk hotel stay first. Let's get that done. So where did we stay this time?
This time we stayed, once we were back on the cruise, we did 2 nights in Old Key West and then 7 nights at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Very nice.
Both our home resorts and Animal Kingdom being our favourite.
Yeah. So obviously Craig stayed at Animal Kingdom earlier in the year.
Yeah.
And I think he's changed his tune about that hotel now. At the time, I think he was a bit put off, but then once you started sending him photos of you being there, I think he softened a little bit. And kind of like, oh, I wish I was back there now.
I think he was put off, wasn't he, by the staff there, that one interaction with the staff.
Yeah, which ended up not being their fault. It was it was his card's fault. But as I said, we have spoken quite a lot about Animal Kingdom in recent months. Old Key West is somewhere we don't talk about very often. Mm. And obviously, it's one of the early DVC units.
Yes. The first one, I think, yes.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Old Key West.
What do you want to know about it then, Paul?
Just really, I think a lot of people kind of realise what it is.
Yeah. It's very different. Well, I guess it's very different to Mawson. The one which is most akin to is probably Saratoga Springs. It's in a good location. It's not far from Disney. You can walk to Disney Springs from there, which not everyone knows because there's actually a footpath that you can walk from Old Key West, the bottom end of it, along past the river. You come back past the Treehouse Villas, and then you end up down near. So you come into the Cirque du Soleil end of Disney Springs. So that's great. It's closed on an evening. You can't walk when it's dark, but in daylight hours you can walk backwards and forwards, which is nice. And the resort itself is quite big. That's there. It's got like different districts, a bit like Saratoga Springs. Like there's three or four different districts in there. The main one obviously is around the sort of check-in area where you've got your main sort of check-in. You've got your shop, your little shop there, which sells your Disney merch as well as DVC. It will sell a limited range of food products and things and beers if you want to pay that much for beers rather than go to Publix. It's also got a restaurant, and it'll take away a little bar. Shuffleboard courts, like a tennis court there, nice pool. So it's everything you need from a resort. And then the different, I think there's three or four different districts around there where you can stay away from the central area. And they tend to have their own pools as well. You know, they're not as all singing and dancing with the slides and things, but actually they are very pleasant, very nice pools, a bit quieter. If you want to just get away on it, you know, you come back to the park, which we did one night, which was nice, in December, come back from the park at 8 o'clock, went to the pool for an hour or two, sat by the pool, read a book for a bit, went in the pool, went in there, had a bit of a dip, went in the jacuzzi, almost had the pool to ourselves in December, which is lovely. So yeah, it's a great resort. It's, as I said, that is for Disney Springs. It's very close to Epcot as well. It's only about a 5 minute in the bus to Epcot. It's a bit of a hidden gem, really. And if you're going on DVC-wise, it's one of the cheaper ones, really, that you can buy into if you buy resale.
Yeah, definitely. It's always been kind of one of those ones that I like because I'm going to be one of the ones that, against everybody else, I really like Disney Springs. I could spend hours. In fact, the last time I went, I would literally, we'd come back from the parks and the other two would go, oh, I don't want to go out. And I'd just get on the bus and go to Disney Springs and wander around.
Yeah.
So that's why Old Key West, I kind of, because you can see it as well, can't you? And things like that. It's always been one of those ones that I've kind of always kept my eye on. Not stayed there yet, but it's definitely on the list.
It's a great resort. It is. It's just a pleasant resort. It's relaxed. It's laid back. It's just obviously a bit different to, you know, your hotels. For your hotels, you go in the front door and you got your room. This is different. You know, you can't have a car, you park your car over, and you have different buildings. You know, there'll be a building with about 20 or 30 apartments in there, sort of, you know, and it's also intersected by a golf course. So there's a lot of greenery around there, a lot of trees around there, river. And obviously, and you can get the boat to Disney Springs as well. So you can jump on one of the little boats and go backwards and forwards. So it's a top little resort, really.
Yeah. So let's talk the parks, and I suppose we better jump in on the thing that we talked about infinitum on this show, and that's Jollywood Nights.
Yes.
Obviously, you had a fairly early experience of it.
We did. I think we were third, maybe. I think it was the third time they held us in early December. So, yeah.
So let's talk through your experiences, because obviously there was a lot of talk that it wasn't in great shape when they first opened it. What did you have any issues or anything like that?
No issues at all, really. All these issues that we saw on YouTube from all the bloggers saying we waited an hour to get our pass to get in there and all this, and our for food and da-da. No, nothing at all. We arrived early. I think the event starts at 8:30. I think we arrived at maybe 6-7 o'clock or something, because we've got passes anyway.
Yeah.
So we could get in the park. Anyway, and then go and collect our credentials, what we call them, lanyards, which were given out at various places. We got them near the Muppets show there. And yeah, no problem at all. We went down there, 5 minutes in a queue. We had our wristbands and our lanyards. So they'd obviously learnt the lessons quickly from that. So yeah, there was no big queues for any of that sort of thing at all this time. You know, the only downside, and Disney can't control it, was the weather. It was bloody freezing, you know. For Florida, it was the only night that we stayed out till after midnight, and ended up being about 8 degrees. That's 8 degrees centigrade. I don't know. Isn't in Americans? I don't know.
Yeah.
Cold.
Yeah. It definitely. I noticed that on a few things that I watched. People saying it was quite cold for the time of the year. Yeah, Jollywood Nights was there was a couple of big things that we kind of touched on. There was the food, which I'm sure we'll touch on in a minute. The entertainment, I think, was the big thing for the evening. And I sat and watched quite a lot of it myself online. And I know you mentioned to us one of the things that was, obviously, for people like us again, one of the big things was the return of the Muppets.
Yes, yeah. That was great. That was in the Beauty and Beast Theatre. It was a Christmas show done in the form of like a TV special, a TV Christmas singing special, and with two hosts on there, a lot of dancers and singing dance on there. And then obviously Miss Piggy and Kermit are brought on stage and shown, which was great. And it was the proper puppets, you know, which is great to see. Love seeing the Muppets. Why they can't just go the full hog and do a Muppet Christmas Carol show, I don't know, because I think that would absolutely blow people away. To me, it's one of the best Christmas films of all time. And if you can bring that on with a lot of the songs from there and a few more of the Muppets, I think it would be amazing. But what they did put on there was great. It was, you know, Miss Piggy and Kermit came on at various parts, and then obviously along with a load of singers, and I think Belle was on there, Tiana came on, Mickey and Minnie were on later on. So it was good fun. It was real good fun. One of the highlights of the night, you know, of the shows. And, you know, again, packed when we were there. I didn't think we were going to get in, because we arrived there, I'm not sure, 15 minutes before the show starts, and queue was from the Beauty and the Beast going right down towards, you know, down the Hollywood street to Hollywood sort of thing, and the queue went up towards Fantasmic and back around, and I thought we're never getting here, but we did, no problem at all. It was organized very, very well. It got us in very quickly, and it was a very good show. And you know, whether it's worth going, the money I will come on to, but as far as a show goes, I thought it was a good show, actually, a real good show.
Yeah, and then obviously the second big show was the Jack Skellington show, the retelling of Nightmare Before Christmas, which I thought was very clever that they didn't just tell the story as we know it. It was kind of a different way of portraying that show.
It was very straight. It was very odd, very different. You know, two actors on stage that do not speak. They do not say a single word in the entire half-hour performance, which is, you know, which sounds really, really weird, but it sort of works in a way. You know, didn't have a problem with that. And then you get, you know, which I've never seen before, especially close up, the Jack Skellington puppet that comes out on a number of occasions. That's unbelievable. I mean, it's massive.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was quite so, you know, I've seen little videos of it when it's been probably the Halloween nights at Magic Kingdom at the castle. But you don't actually, you can't get to see how big it is unless you're there in person. It must be about 10 foot high, 10, 12 foot high. It's very impressive. And then Oogie Boogie, again, which I've never seen the character before.
Great costume, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You see a lot more of him over at Disneyland, don't you? You seem
to. Yeah. Yeah, he has his own, he's in the animation building, and you literally, you're about maybe 2-3 feet away from him.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly detailed.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, he comes out and does that song. And yeah, I thought it was a really good show. It, very, very different. Again, absolutely packed. But again, everyone's saying, oh, we couldn't get this show and we couldn't do that one. We didn't have a problem. You looked at the times we were on. We got there not too much earlier. I think that one we got there about 10 minutes before it started, 15 minutes. And there were still spare seats in the theatre. And I think they showed them 4 or 5 times a night, both of them. So I think 4 times. So plenty of opportunities to see the shows. Yeah. And those are the two, obviously, the two big shows, I guess, indoor shows. And both, you know, I thought both were really, really good. Whether they keep them, if they bring it back, who knows? But, you know, I thought they were definitely worth seeing.
Yeah, a move in the right direction.
With
the Muppets. And then obviously there was a couple of outside shows as well, the return of Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam.
Yeah, that was on at about half midnight. So it's quite late. You know, that was one thing. I mean, it was a four and a half hour event because it started at 8:30. And you were getting back up at 8:30. I think it started just after that. It's quite a long show. I think I've seen it once before because it used to, I mean, whether it's changed, I don't know, but I've seen it quite a few years ago when it used to be part of the normal Christmas sort of nighttime events at Hollywood Studios. But it was good. It's good to see fireworks back in Hollywood Studios. It was still busy, which was surprising. Even, you know, I thought a lot of people would have left by then, but no, they were still there. It was still quite busy for that, for the show. And yeah, it's a good fireworks show, you know, and a good end to the night.
Yeah, definitely.
I would never recommend people not to do anything. I would always say you make your own mind up of these things. You know, it's not cheap. That's the thing, isn't it? It's never cheap.
That's the Disney way.
Yeah, $170 each, but we got a discount for being DVC, you know, 10% or something, or 10 or something like that.
So that always helps, doesn't it?
It helps a little bit. It's not cheap. Jane will say it's not worth it. But then again, is anything worth it when you're paying that sort of money? Probably not. You know, and you know, in addition to those, you know, in addition to those things we saw, the fireworks and the two shows, you know, all of the rides were open. We got a virtual pass for Rise of Resistance because it was working all night, which was amazing. So we actually got to ride that twice, once when we were first in it and once later on.
That cold weather's good for something.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. We got to do Toy Story Mania. We did Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. We did Star Tours. We did Tower of Terror, Rock and Roller Coaster. And we did, Slinky Dog in 8 degrees, which wasn't great. It was freezing.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
But yeah, you know, so as well as all those shows, and as we saw, we stood and watched. It was a Tip Top Soiree Club. We stayed and watched. We came out of Tower of Terror, and they were playing outside of the Tower of Terror exit. So we stood and watched them for a while. So that was good. You know, they'd just finished the set, so it was about 10-15 minutes of that, and they were popular. So if you add it all together, and you know, the fact that you can basically almost walk on any ride you want.
Yeah.
On the evening. And there's other entertainment on, I think it was down near the commissary. They had like, sort of Latin American type, Latin Christmas music down there throughout the night. So, you know, I think there's a lot to do. If you want to do the rides as well, I think there's a lot to do, and you can get a lot of rides done in what is a relatively short amount of time as well, really.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds great. I'm a sucker for, as I said, Disney Christmas. Yeah. I'd get pulled in. And I suppose the last thing, did you get to try any of the food?
Not a lot. That is the one downside of it. When if you go, I guess, well, a couple of things I always say. One, and Jane says this mainly, for the price you pay, why don't you get any free cookies and hot chocolate or something like that, like you do with the other one? That to me, you know, it's like, it doesn't cost much to them, but obviously the more of that you get, the less the food you buy, I guess. You know, I get that. But that did seem a little bit tight. But we didn't try a lot of food because the problem with this one is it doesn't start at 8:30.
Yeah.
And it's late. Whereas, you know, if you've got the Christmas Mickey one, you know, most people tend to get in a bit early, maybe 4 or 5 o'clock, and you'll be in the park and you could buy food. Whereas this one, you know, we'd had our tea, dinner, as Merton's call it, a little bit earlier on. So we stuck to sort of snacks, really. Some of the desserts and things we tried. A couple of the desserts in the commissary. They were good. They weren't too expensive. They were all tasty. But you know, we didn't do anything massive or like meal wise because we'd eaten before then, unfortunately, and which I think a lot of people had. You know, maybe that's why when everyone complained the queues were massive for all the food and things on the first night. I think it's purely because all the vloggers were there. Wanting to try the food as they do. You know, they want to be first there. They want to showcase, you know, whatever the special treats are, whatever the meals are, and show all that off. Fine, that's their job. That's how they make their money. But when the average paying punter's going, they've already paid $170 to do the event. And when it starts at 8:30, I think a lot of them have already eaten, so it'll probably limit them to a few snacks and drinks as opposed to eating too much there.
Yeah, that's definitely. And the amount of food that was on the menus, it felt like it should be like a full day, like Epcot.
It was like a festival.
Yeah, there was so much. So even choosing one or two must be quite difficult. So
do it all day. The thing they should maybe do, if they're going to do it over Christmas time, I would have that sort of Christmas festival in there on all day, so you can sell these different foods to the day guests, and then at night time maybe introduce a couple of, you know, event special dishes or something. But you know, like Universal do with Mardi Gras things, why not have that in Hollywood Studios?
Yeah, definitely. So final thoughts on Jollywood Nights before we move on?
I'd give it enjoyed it. If you want, you know, shorter queues and things, it's good for that. It's got some good entertainment on there. It's maybe just missing, obviously it doesn't have a parade, which the Magic Kingdom does. It maybe needs one or two extra little things in there to make it, that to compete with the Magic Kingdom one. Because I think we've done them both now. I would say if we were going to go back to do one in the future, we'll go to Magic Kingdom. The Christmas one. Now, that's not to take away from this one. I just think that it's more of a Christmassy feel there, and maybe slightly just worth the money a bit more than the Hollywood Studios one.
But,
you know, it's the first year, and I think they'll learn from what they've done and hopefully come back stronger next year.
Yeah. I get the feeling that it would work a little bit better if it was a bit longer.
Yeah, I think it needs to be a 7 o'clock start. It's obviously directed adults as well, I think, more than the Magic Kingdom. Clearly, I mean, Magic Kingdom is more for children because the fireworks at 8:30, I mean, that's very late. You know, if you're going to do, to me, if you're going to do that sort of event, you want to be starting at 7 o'clock, having the fireworks at 9:30, 10 o'clock, and then the crowds will thin out anyway as some of the young ones leave. Because, you know, keeping young ones out till 8:30, you know, that's when they're on it. They don't finish till 10 to 1. By the time you've left there and got back to your hotel, I think we got back about half past one or something in the morning, which is late for a Disney holiday. Certainly for kids, families, it's very late.
Yeah, definitely. I certainly wouldn't be surviving that long.
No. Especially when the next day you want to be up early for the parks again.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that wraps up Jollywood Nights.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to talk about Christmas-wise across the other parks?
Christmas-wise across other parks. There's things across other parks that are not Christmas-related, but we, I suppose Christmas-related, certainly Epcot we like. I like Epcot any time of year, but obviously they have a lot of festivals on and they have the holiday sort of festival with all the food again. Although I've got to say that I didn't think the food offerings on this festival they weren't as good as last time I went, and they're certainly not as good as I think I prefer Food and Wine Festival, and I prefer the Art Festival in January to that one in terms of food offerings. I just don't know. I don't know why. Maybe it's just the type of food, like a bit picky. I don't know, but there was nothing massively jumping out for us at those food booths this time. But Epcot itself, I really like the Christmas because you've got obviously all of the different countries around the world showcase sort of decorated for Christmas. The Christmas storytellers come out, your Santa Clauses and all these things, and different telling the story of Christmas in Olympus, which is really good, really nice. And it just feels quite Christmassy, and you've got the Christmas stage in front of the World Showcase later as well, where they have performances on of Christmas songs and carols, that which is good. And if it's your sort of thing, obviously you've got the kind of like processional. Now, it's not my sort of thing, not particularly into that sort of religious side of it, but it's popular. It's popular as hell. Yeah. When that closes, if that closes when it's near time to for the fireworks, it's absolute carnage. Mm-hmm. There's hundreds of people leaving there and whatnot. But yeah, that is always, if that's your sort of thing, great. But either get yourself a dinner reservation with an add-on seat to go and watch it, or be willing to stand for a couple of hours to get in, because we see them queuing up hours before just to get into that.
Yeah. And I think obviously the celebrity narrators are always going to draw crowds anyway.
They do. And I think the Christmas thing that we really, really like is in Animal Kingdom. I mean, it's quite a lot of decoration, Animal Kingdom. It's just little things, daft things. You got like one of the dinosaur bones. You've got like Christmas hat and things on, and that's something. It's done all over the place, but they do that thing in the main hub of Animal Kingdom where they bring out the animals, like the puppets, animal puppets, polar bears and penguins and little foxes, Arctic foxes and everything. That's really good, just something little, but really enjoy seeing that one and watching people interact with them. So all the parks have got, something going. And obviously Magic Kingdom just looks, the best, obviously, the main street. You go along and it's all decorated for Christmas, and little things that people don't notice, like in the Main Street Emporium, all the windows have changed for Christmas. It has the story of Mickey's Christmas Carol in about seven or eight different windows going around there. People walk past it, little things like that. So there's so much that is on there, and we didn't. And I didn't even know they did this. I only started it on a YouTube thing that Monsters Inc. has a Christmas overlay, or has it on certain times. Now, we didn't see that. We went in there, we didn't see it, but I've seen a YouTube video, and it was all a bit different for Christmas, with Roz wearing a Christmas sweater and Christmas decorations on the stage, and a bit more Christmassy feel. So, you'll be surprised that there's that much in there which is different to Christmas.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, all sorts of things like the Stitch stage show in Tomorrowland and stuff like that is great as well. I can highly recommend that. So Christmas wise, I think that was it. Obviously you also had some new stuff to at least look at this time.
A lot in Epcot, this time. We actually booked up Epcot, because obviously you've got to book up your theme parks. Or you certainly did last year. We'd booked up Epcot for the 6th of December, I think it was. I think it was 6th of December, something around that, or just before, which just happened to be the day that the Walt statue and the new gardens were opened, and when the first showing of Luminous was on as well. So that was busy. It was, we got there early-ish in the morning, and you know, there was a queue for about, must be over an hour to go and just sit next to the Walt statue.
Yeah.
Everyone getting the picture there, which is, you know, just bonkers. I'm like, yeah, no, you know, I'll wait. You know, I'll wait to go have a look at it. And, you know, we waited. We went back the next day or the day after or something. And as we're leaving the park, there was no queue. So yeah, two or three people there. So we, and they actually had photo pass photographers there, because the first day they didn't have photo pass there. It was just taking your own photographs.
Yeah.
And people were taking ages. Whereas they obviously saw there was a problem, had two photo pass photographers there who would take photos of your camera as well. And they rotated. So as one person was getting the photograph, the next person was getting the person ready, taking your photograph, just to get things moving quicker. So,
yeah,
you know, we waited 2 or 3 minutes, got a couple of photographs, and off we went. So that's nice. It's very nice. You know, that whole area is very pleasant. It looks nice at night time, all lit up. Why it took 3 or 4 years to do it, I don't know, but it's a pleasant area. It'd be nice when it's all finished and the rest of the buildings and gardens are open, hopefully in the next few months. And obviously we got to see the Moana, Journey of Water with Moana as well for the first time. That was good. I, again, I'm not going to excuse them taking as long as I did to build it. But as far as an attraction goes, a walkthrough attraction, we went through it 2 or 3 times, once at night, and I think it wasn't, and once or twice during the daytime. And I think it's really good. I think families will love it. It's just, you walked around and everyone was enjoying themselves. It was just a simple attraction where you're interacting with water, you're touching it, you know, the water's come to your hand and you move hand up and down, or you're conducting like a piano with water, or you know, the waves are coming, anything like that. And every, you know, people might say, oh, it is good. It is really good. And everyone you saw in there, from the little kiddies up to an old bloke in his probably 80s, enjoying himself with the water. Yeah, I thought it was a cracking little walkthrough. And to say, I don't think it should have taken to build it, but, you know, it's there now. And I think, you know, I think in the summer especially, I mean, we went in December, so it wasn't too hot. But in the summer when it's warm and you want to cool off and everything, yeah, I think it'll be a really popular attraction.
Yeah, definitely. Epcot seems to be rounding out again. In a way, it hasn't been for probably a decade. It's kind of been a building site for that long, and I think they're kind of getting there. I think it started with, obviously, with Guardians, and now they're filling it out with these extra bits.
Still the best ride in all Walt Disney World Guardians.
Yeah,
hands down to me, like, so. But yeah, and then with Luminous, we've got rid of Harmonious. Great. I mean, I was one of those that didn't like it. I was a massive fan of Reflections of Earth Illuminations. Loved that show. Loved the music from it more than anything else. Still listen to it nowadays. And saw Harmonious 3 or 4 times, I think, over the last couple of years. And just wasn't impressed with it. I think the reason being was, and it wasn't, you know, some people say, oh, the music, so it's all, no, it wasn't the music for me. It was the fact that unless you were stood right in front of the World Showcase, sort of between those two shops at the front, you couldn't actually experience it fully. You know, you're at the side, you can't see the fountains properly, you can't see the big Stargate gate. So you couldn't really enjoy it as much as those at the front, and that's why I didn't like it so much. I just didn't think it was great to see from all around the lake. Whereas this new one is a lot better. I mean, I don't know if you watched any of the videos, Paul, yet, but
we haven't. We were going to do. I think we're going to do a commentary at some point of us all watching it. So I haven't yet. I've kept away this time. Normally I'm not one for worrying about spoilers, but I kind of want to see it for myself. Like, obviously talking with you, Steve, it's not spoiling it at all.
But
seeing it on a screen, I think it is. I kind of want that first feeling of seeing it while we're talking about it.
It's certainly, I'm not saying it's as good as Illuminations, because it's one of the first things I saw and was blown away by that. But then, Illuminations, it was great, but there were quiet moments in it. You know, there was almost 5 minutes in the middle with a globe going around with no fireworks or anything, but the music was great. But this one, you know, it's more of that storytelling as opposed to just playing Disney music. And there's some great effects. You know, you've got lasers, you've got the water fountains, which are pretty impressive, I would say. And a lot of fireworks again. More fireworks than the last one. And again, most importantly, you can actually enjoy it from most parts from around the whole World Showcase. Now, the first night we went to see it twice. The first night we went to see it, we watched it sort of Morocco area. It was good. It wasn't the best location. You got it was busy, as you probably imagine. Probably was like the first night. You know, everyone was getting their places. You know, certainly a couple of hours before, people were sat down waiting. Probably some of the vloggers have been there for a bit longer. You know, everyone was there. You know, we saw Lou Mangiello. He had a bloody dessert party next to it. You know, if only could have got in there, they got a good view and some free food. But yeah, so we saw, you know, so they're all there, team track. Everyone else is there, you know, filming it around there. So, you know, it's going to be busy. You expect that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the advice I would say is that when you go to find a spot for it, just make sure there's no trees in front of you. Because the first time we watched it, we had not wholly in front, but there was some branches higher up, which then did distract from some of the fireworks. So just watch where you stand. When we went back the second time, we found a great spot in Germany. There's a little booth near the water in Germany, and there's a little a boat dock or something down in Germany that, you know, just to the left of there. That was absolutely fantastic. You could see the whole of the fountains unhindered, all the fireworks going up, but more importantly, you could actually see Spaceship Earth in the background as well, you know, at the side of it. And they do put some projections on Spaceship Earth, so if you're looking the other way, you can't see that. If you're looking back across the lagoon, you can see all the fireworks, all the fountains, and Spaceship Earth when they do things with it. So, you know, if you're in a good spot to watch it when you go, anyone, I would definitely say that sort of location, Germany area, is a great place to watch it from. And it's a good show. It's 15, 20 minutes long, good music. There's a few bits of Disney music. I think you've got a bit of Frozen in there and a bit of Tarzan. But it's not taking over, you know, the whole show. But yeah, it's certainly, to me, on its way back to, you know, having a cracking fireworks show, nighttime show in Epcot after a few years.
Great to hear. And I'm certainly looking forward to giving it a watch at some point.
Yeah. Definitely.
So before we wrap up, was there anything else that you wanted to talk about? From Disney World time this time around?
I suppose there's a couple of little things. We went to see the new Cirque du Soleil show. We've not been there since 2002 when we went to see La Nuba on our wedding night all those years ago. And obviously they've got the new one called Drawn to Life, which started about a year and a half ago or something. And we've been meaning to go and see it for a while. And we haven't. And then we saw on Black Friday, they had 25% off tickets for this one. So we thought, well, we'll do that. We'll go to that and we'll go and see it. And yeah, great. You know, probably mix. You know, La Nuba was an excellent show, but it was a typical Cirque du Soleil show. This one, obviously, has Disney elements to it, so it seems to fit better with where it is in Disney Springs. And it was, you know, it was fairly quiet, actually. I mean, that surprised me. We went to a matinee performance, sort of a 5 o'clock performance. So it was probably only about half full. But, yeah, the show itself was excellent. You know, I really enjoyed it. A couple of hours there. I think we paid. It's not, don't wrong, it isn't cheap. Even with a discount, I think we probably still paid £70, £75 a ticket each for sort of low to mid-price tickets. But again, if people are at a loose end and if they can get a discount on it, I'd definitely recommend going to see it because it is, you know, it's a great show, a great show.
Definitely, definitely. It's not something I've done yet. We looked at it the last time we were there, but yeah, didn't get around to it. But at some point, we're theatre goers in this family, so at some point we will end up going. Anything else before we wrap up?
Don't think there's anything really. We did a few other restaurants to different. We did the Boathouse for our first time, which again was pretty good. We had a trip out to, finally, we've been meaning to go to the Four Rivers restaurant over Kissimmee Way, a barbecue restaurant. Heard about it quite a few years ago and we've never got there, but we did this time. Just drove out there and tried that. And some of the best barbecue we've had, certainly in Orlando. Really enjoyed that and not too expensive. And we'll definitely be going back again. Bloody good food, which is why I think we've had these discussions on our, you know, messenger groups and that about, you know, going over and how expensive it is and the Disney dining plan come back, maybe it's been free and things. You know, we've changed the way we eat and we shop over there. We because of the price of things, we don't go to all the Disney restaurants. We try and find little gems off site and, you know, a chicken guy at Disney Springs, great little place, not too expensive. Popeyes, you know, chicken and Four Rivers, and you don't have to spend a fortune on food with it. If you get the free dining, great, go for it. Enjoy all the food you want to eat. But if you're paying for it, you know, I'm not paying, you know, $50, $60, $70 per person every day for an evening meal. We'll go off site and we'll eat in Ford's Garage again, which we love, in other places. So,
yeah. Wonderful. Right. As always, Steve, wonderful to talk to you about your trip.
No problem.
You always make us all jealous with your trips, but it's great to talk about it. And I think it definitely, it helps people kind of learn a little bit, little things slightly different to what someone that goes every 3-4 years, whereas you're going kind of every 6 to 9 months, and you're always doing slightly little different bits that people may not pick up on a regular trip. So always great to hear that. And thank you so much. And as I said at the top of the first show, thank you for the help with the photos. No problem. Always. It's great. And it makes us happy to see them. So
it'll be a bit less often now. I think it's going to be once a year for a few years now.
Yeah.
We're not taking a break from it, but we're going back in September and we'll be doing Universal that time with Halloween Horror Nights this year. I think we're going to be, rather than going after COVID, we were lucky enough to have points left over and managed to get, you know, it was like, I think 1 year we had Disneyland and 3 Disney Worlds in a matter of 12 months, which was crazy. So right now the points have all been used. And we're back to sort of level pegging again. I think we'll be back to once a year for a few years, and hopefully I might be renting my points out as well, just next year as well, just to let someone else enjoy my points for a change. And we'll be technically steady for a couple of years.
Yeah, definitely. But it's been great to talk over these trips.
Yeah,
I think over the last probably 18 months we've had you on 5 or 6 times, and it's great. And every trip's been different.
It has, yeah.
Which is wonderful to talk about. But as always, thank you, Steve. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. We'll be back in February with another episode of Diz After Dark. Not sure what we'll be doing. I know I want to compare the two new lands out in Asia and see which ones we think is the best out of Arendelle and Zootopia. So we'll be looking at that. And as I said in the in this episode, we want to do a commentary over the new Epcot fireworks show at some point as well. So hopefully they'll be along in February or within the next kind of 6 to 8 weeks. And hopefully the others will join me at some point again. This month is a very one person voice episode. I know Universal, it's only Craig and some others from some other podcasts on those. And this one's just been me and Steve. So we'll be back in February with two more episodes. And we will see you somewhere down the road.
Cheers. Bye.
Why? Because we like you.
Kick it.
Can't get enough. Can't get enough.
He's the one, two, three.
Mickey Mania. Never gonna end. Mickey Mania.
You're
Mickey Mania.
He's really a nice mouse.
He sure is.
Now hold on. Move it. Live it up. Prove it. Give it a rock. The house of the mouse.
Rock.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.